Will you open your Bibles with me today to the book of Joshua, that portion of the Word of God that we are studying together? Will you keep in mind that in the first five chapters of the book of Joshua, there is the story of the opening of the land of Canaan for the Israelites. We have been endeavoring to learn some spiritual lessons from the literal facts of the story. We have been talking with you about the significance, the typical significance of the River Jordan, the typical significance and meaning of the River Jordan being rolled back to permit the children of Israel to cross into Canaan on dry land. In our last broadcast, we reminded you that the River Jordan was rolled all the way back to the city of Adam. And without going into detail about what we said in our last broadcast, we reminded you that that typically represents the fact that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, represented by the River Jordan in the death of Christ, took care of all the sins of the past. But if you glanced at the 16th verse of the third chapter of the book of Joshua, you would read that the waters came down from the salt sea, and the waters that came down from the salt sea were also piled in a heap. Of course, the salt sea is the Dead Sea. And we suggest to you that as the city of Adam represented the sins of the past, the salt sea, the Dead Sea, death, represents all the sins of the future. You know, this is an interesting thing. Men do not find it difficult to believe that Christ died for the sins of the past, but they can't seem to grasp the fact that Christ died for the sins of the future. You see, it's not hard for me to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for all of the sins I committed up to the point that I was saved some time ago, because I ask Him to forgive me of those sins, and I can understand that. But it was difficult for me to understand how He could forgive me for sins which I have never committed. It was difficult for me to understand how the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed me from sins which I haven't yet committed up to this point. Now, of course, it would be real nice if I could tell you that I'm through with sin, that I'm never going to commit another sin. I wish I could tell you that. There is nobody in all the world who wants to live without sin any more than I do. I wish that there were some way that there could be that individuals could live without sin. How glad I am to learn that the Lord Jesus Christ died not only for the sins of the past, but for the sins of the future. How glad I am to learn that the Lord Jesus Christ died and rolled back the waters, rolled back judgment, not only to the city of Adam, but He dammed up the waters of the Dead Sea as well, so that just as certainly as I can be secure in relation to the past, I can be safe in relation to the future. I thank God for that today. I suggested that perhaps you might learn some lessons about the Ark as well as about the River Jordan. Keep in mind that I suggested to you that the Ark represents Christ and the cross. And I'm going to suggest to you three lessons that might be learned from the Ark. Number one, the Ark illustrates the fact that salvation is provided from the penalty of sin. The Ark, as it was used to cross the River Jordan, illustrates the fact that salvation has been provided from the power of sin. And the Ark illustrates the fact that salvation will be provided from the presence of sin, the penalty, the power, and the presence. When I suggest to you that the Ark represents the fact that salvation is provided from the penalty of sin, I am referring to the fact that the only thing that rolled back the waters of Jordan was the presence of the Ark in the midst of it. Now, if that Ark had moved out of the Jordan River before every last person had come through, the death of the raging torrents of the Jordan would have been felt by those who were left behind. The Ark represents the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ saves us from the penalty of sin. Did you notice when you read the chapter that the children of Israel were told to stay 2,000 cubits behind the ark, 3,000 feet? Did you notice how that was presented? It was presented with the suggestion that if the children of Israel followed far enough behind the ark would always be in their sight. There would never be a time when their eyes were not on the ark. Does that bring anything to your mind? It does to mine. Do you remember what is recorded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1? Let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, he has already finished the job. But how does it become a reality in your life? How do you enjoy the victory of it? By keeping your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Victory is not found in your effort. It is found in Christ. And as long as the ark was in their view, they had confidence. If the ark were to pass out of their view, they would not have had nerve enough to face the raging torrents of the Jordan. Thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing that is presented is salvation from the presence of sin. Did you notice how long the priests who were bearing the ark stayed in the Jordan? Did you notice how long they stayed? Now, read chapter 4 again when you have time, and what will you discover? You will discover that they stayed in the Jordan until every last Israelite was clean passed over. And that's the way the scripture puts it, clean passed over. And then did you notice what happened? When the children of Israel were passed over, the priests who bore the ark came up out of the bed of the Jordan River, and the waters came together, and the raging torrents of the Jordan flowed once again. Judgment flowed unrestrained and unhindered. Does that bring anything to your mind? Does it call anything to your attention? It does to my mind. Do you remember what is recorded in Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, when he tells us that the mystery of iniquity doth already work, and there is one thing that's holding back the judgment of God? That's the person of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit dwells in the body of Christ, the church. He said one day, that which is holding back the judgment will be taken out of the way, and when it is, then the judgment will flow unrestrained. And I would suggest to you that just as the Ark of the Covenant kept the judgment from falling upon those Israelites, and just as they were saved from the very presence of it by the Ark of the Covenant, so will we someday be saved from the presence of sin by the glad and glorious cry, "Behold, the Bridegroom cometh." When we hear that cry, then we who have already been saved from the penalty of sin, and we who have experienced victory, power over sin, will someday be saved from the presence of sin. Now, briefly, one last lesson. What are the lessons to be learned from the stones? You remember? They gathered up 24 stones out of the midst of the Jordan. 12 of those stones they planted in the Jordan, and when the waters came together, those stones were seen no more. What truth does that illustrate? The truth that all of us who are dead with Christ are dead with Christ. Is that a strange phrase to you, dead with Christ? Well, let the Apostle Paul use it in chapter 6 of the Roman letter. It begins, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Just as the waters of the river Jordan covered those 12 memorial stones, we have been identified with the death of Christ, because as the waters covered those memorial stones, so the judgment, the waves of God's wrath, if you please, flowed over the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have been identified with him in his death." And that's the reason why, in this same chapter, you can read in verse 8, Romans 6, verse 8, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. The story of the stones would not be complete if the only place a monument was made was in the River Jordan, covered by the raging torrents of that muddy water. That's the reason another monument of stone had to be built in Gilgal, which represents the truth that we have been made alive in Christ. That's the reason that ordinarily you see an empty cross. You see, if we believe that Jesus Christ had not been made alive, we would still have the figure of Christ upon the cross, but it's empty because we've been made alive in Christ. Dead as the stones buried beneath the raging torrents of the Jordan, but alive and visible and clear to the eye as the monument of stones built at Gilgal. And you remember, there was to be a monument built in the middle of the river, which the waters passed over, and a monument built where men could see it. And I do not think it is any mistake that God chose the name Gilgal for the place where the monument would be erected, because the word Gilgal refers to the fact that reproach has been rolled away. And this is the testimony of every believer who has placed his faith and his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The reproach of our sin and our guilt has been rolled away. Now, I don't expect you to go around building a monument of stone, one of them to represent the fact that you've been or that you are dead with Christ. I don't expect you to go around building a monument of stone, one of them to represent the fact that you are alive in Christ. But God has given us a memorial that we can observe. If we took the time to go back to Romans chapter 6, we would find that one of those memorials is water baptism. Because we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ, we are baptized in water. And that's our pile of stones to indicate that just as the raging torrents of the Jordan River flowed over that pile of stone, the waters of sin and judgment have flowed over us. For when we are baptized, the preacher doesn't go off and leave us down in the bottom of the baptistry, does he? Of course, we would drown if he did. But more important, it would spoil the picture. What does he do? He brings us up out of water to remind us to walk in newness of life. Now, there is another pile of stones that God has left for the believer, and that's the Lord's table, a monument to the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that his death is our death. It's another thing to be without memorials of any kind and to have the memorials which the Scripture gives us.